Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on The Rundown with Nate Leash.
I think one of the things that I'm most proud of is chasing my dream of becoming a Paralympic champion because my favorite thing in the world is being an older brother to my four siblings who are all younger than me. And, I think they look up to me at some point. And if I show them that I'm chasing my dreams, you know, then they can go chase theirs. Because if I'm telling them to go chase their dreams, but I'm not doing mine, then I have no room to talk.
On this episode of The Rundown, I spoke with run coach, marathon runner, and community leader, Matt Luke Meyer. After moving to New York City to pursue an acting career, bartending to pay the bills led him down an unhealthy path, so he decided to make a change. Running was only a small part in the beginning, but 5 years later, running is all Matt knows. He's wrapped himself in the New York run community and pushed his limits further than he ever thought possible. He's got big dreams on the horizon, and if this trend continues, his potential is endless. Are you already subscribed to The Rundown, running with WRG, and still can't get enough? Sign up to our weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the run community, hear about exclusive events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Visit iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. In this week's news, these days we're all looking for a little more motivation to get out of the house and move our bodies. So maybe this story will inspire you. Last week, 32-year-old Canadian Mathieu Blanchard decided he wanted to go for a run and chose to cover the entire perimeter of the island of Montreal. He did so while maintaining an average pace of 5:03 per kilometer, a speed that most amateur runners have a challenge holding. I should mention that this wasn't his first ultramarathon adventure. Before the pandemic, Mathieu was racing ultras of 100 kilometers or more all over the world, and is currently ranked one of the best in the province of Quebec. Why did he do this, you might ask? Not for charity or for a worthy COVID-19 cause, but just because he loves to run. That's a lesson we can all learn from Mathieu. Even though races and events are getting canceled with each passing week, we can still go outside and move because it just feels good. If you're going to head outdoors, make sure to keep your distance, stay off busy streets, and wash your hands when you get home. In the spirit of the ultra distance, last Saturday, April 25th, was the COVID Classic. What is the COVID Classic, you might ask? It was a virtual race created by local Montreal osteopath, distance runner, and former Le Rundown guest, Scott Sternthal. It challenged runners to see who could run the most 5-kilometer loops over a course of 12 hours, and the person with the most laps completed won. It was a free event that encouraged participants to raise money for their favorite cause in support of those affected by COVID-19. And they did, raising over $30,000. The winner for the men was David Clément, with 20 laps covering 107 kilometers. On the women's side, it was Caroline Côté who took home the victory, coming through with 22 laps and 111 kilometers. I also participated and was able to cover 70 kilometers, which was 5K more than I ever have run before. So for all intents and purposes, it was an incredible event. It got over 400 runners out of their homes and comfort zones while raising money for those who need. Can't get much better than that. Make sure to check the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. My next guest is a coach. He's a podcast host. He's an amazing runner, and he's also a really good dude. I'd like to welcome to The Rundown, Matt Luke Meyer.
Hey, how we doing?
How you doing, man? Everything good?
Doing about as good as you can, considering how things are in the world.
Yeah, for sure. As I understand it, you're in a podcast bunker right now.
Yeah, I'm in my pod. That's what I should call it, the pod bunker. I'm up here right now. Normally, I reside in New York City, but right now I'm up at a cabin in northern Montana. And specifically in the cabin, I'm outside in a little camper right now. Has the best sound quality, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's great. Sounds crisp. So I'm really stoked for our chat today. Matt, I usually like to get into it right away and see, like, you know, what was it like growing up as a kid for you? And like, were you always active? Like, we know you as this marathon runner, endurance athlete now, but was it always that way?
I really wish I could say that had been me from the start, but absolutely not. I mean, growing up, I grew up in a really small town in eastern Colorado. I grew up on a farm out there, tiny little town, about 2,000 people. Like in high school, I graduated with 42 others as far as size, so not from a very big spot. But growing up, I tried my hand in lots of interesting athletic endeavors. None of them to any great success. Especially when you're in a small town, everybody does everything. It's not like there's not enough to go around. It's like, all right, hey, you want to do every option possible? Well, we got you. There's only so many people to pick from, so we're not picky. And so, yeah, going through, like, growing up, I had never I think the youngest thing I ever was into was probably baseball. And that was just because that was like an easy summer league thing. And I was never any good at it. I still love baseball to this day, but I was never good at it. I did. I think I was always active, especially in middle school, in like whatever club sport was there, like club football and then basketball and then wrestling and then swim team and then baseball. And mostly did these because my parents were like, you should go do these things. I don't think I ever would have gone for any of this of my own accord. I was anybody who knows me now thinks it's kind of funny, but I was exceptionally shy as a kid. I didn't really talk to anybody, didn't really have any friends, especially through middle school. Preferred to be on my own. And from there, I think that, like, as I continued to grow up, that things like that always change. You grow into yourself. But the closest thing I ever did to an endurance sport, hands down, was swimming. I swam we had like a club swim team. So I swam throughout, golly, must have been like from like age 10 to 18. Never great at it. I was always the slowest one in all of my groups, but a lot of my friends swam, so I enjoyed it, and I love the water. I love swimming. I was a lifeguard in high school during the summers as well, so like that definitely played into it. But like with running, I guess it started kind of in high school. I joined the track team just as a way to get out of school, and I thought, all right, out of all of these activities, what is the one that you get to leave school for the longest for? And it was absolutely track meet. You leave for the whole day. It's a very long event. And so I thought, you know what? Bam, that's what I'm going to do. And I look on the team and I see like, what is an opening? Like what kind of events are open to run? And one of them was the 2 mile, and nobody on my school wanted to run that far. So I thought, oh, might as well go for it. And I was not good at it. I never trained. I didn't enjoy running. I thought about that almost like that 2 miles was like the price I had to pay to get out of school for the day.
Right.
And yeah, and I never was really into any of that. What really had my interest throughout high school was photography. I worked for the school newspaper. I did a lot of graphic design. I like shot for the local newspaper as well, would sell photos of sports photography. I really loved shooting sports. Some of my favorite things to photograph at that point. And as I continued to grow up, I found my way into theater. I got really into acting, and eventually that's what I went to college for. I went to college for acting and dance. And it just
very cool.
right? Not your standard, I mean, I don't think there is any standard running path for anybody. I think we all come to running in whatever way that we get to it. There's so many paths to it because running's for everybody. It's something that I love so much about it.
For sure. You're totally right about the fact that running is for everybody and like no two paths are alike, but it's like you do see some people where it's like right from the young age, they got like into running young and then they got into school running and then away their career went, right? But I think we're kind of similar in that way where like no one sport was really like our go-to and running was a later in life kind of thing. But I find it interesting that you had that creative side as well to add on to it.
I think that the creative side really still, it's still there with me. That's something that I truly hope never leaves.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, I had never, like when I think about how I am now and how I really love what the, I love what the training process looks like. I love working through, I love working through how it is that you build into a race, how all of that looks. And it, I never would have expected that I would have gotten to that same place. Cause just like going through any of these sports, it always kind of felt like a hassle. I never really had the passion or the drive for it. And that passion and drive was all funneled into these creative endeavors. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know, maybe now that I think about it, I wonder if learning, if we talk about like some running cliches, like learning to love the process, that when I think about, especially acting, my favorite part of it is the rehearsal process. When you're working on building a show, when you're building through characters, when you're developing how you're going to work through this, through the script. And I love racing, but I really love training. That's my favorite part. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a sucker for a daily grind, but
I mean, like any good runner, like you recognize that it's that, or like anybody who's passionate about anything, you realize that like if you don't practice your lines, you're not going to be successful in presenting your character in a play. And if you don't do the work in your training, you're not going to get the results you want on race day, regardless of you know, all the factors that go into it. It's just like you're getting, at least you're getting to the line in a good state if you're able to follow the process and like go through those steps that in order to make those things happen, you know. I like how you brought the parallels there between your acting and the running too, because it's like that acting never leaves you. Is that something you still do to this day, or have you kind of taken a back seat a little bit?
It definitely isn't like my daily thing that I would work on as it used to be, but it's still, especially now that I work so much in like the fitness industry, there is that certain element of performance when you run a class, when you especially even right now that we're doing all this like video streaming fitness, where it's kind of like you're recording small auditions, it feels like. But definitely, I think that I don't think that'll ever leave. And it feels a lot like that. It also feels a lot like when you take class, like I dance, still do. And that's something that it's rather the sum of the training is really more important than just the performance itself. That like it's a daily process, and through that daily process you kind of find you find your growth, you find the monotony is not the right word, but just in the subtle day-to-day progress, that's where it really builds.
For sure. And you mentioned too, like you got into running because it was a way to get out of school. So how did sports evolve for you, or was it just like you used it as a way for like maybe not the right reasons, you know? like, how did that look for you through school? And when was the next time, like, did you continue running, or like, when was the next time you got introduced to it again? Because it didn't sound like it was really a passion at that point.
Oh, it absolutely was not. my favorite thing to do on those track meet days was just sit around with my friends and throw around a frisbee. But the way it went for me was that I don't think I ran again since from high school. I don't think I ran anywhere or actively decided to go on a run for, golly, about 8 years. Because so to fast forward through college, I had moved out to New York, so I went to college in Colorado as well. And okay. I'd moved out to New York City and continuing, still working within my acting career. And throughout college, I'd started to gain a little bit of weight. And when I got to New York, that really only went up. I was bartending when I moved out to the city. I was also working at a brewery. I used to work in the beer industry. I used to brew beer, and I was just I'd gained a lot of weight. My drinking had definitely escalated. That had become a problem that I wasn't really ready to deal with. And after months of waking up to the same day every day, where I felt like nothing was changing, there was no progress, that only thing that was happening was I was getting more and more unhappy with where my life was at. I was just gaining more and more weight. I felt like I wasn't working towards anything. I don't know. It just like I said, I love the process. I love building towards a goal, but I felt like at that point there was no goal and I wasn't making any progress towards anything. Right. And after like a particularly nasty bender of a weekend, I woke up and I can like distinctly remember, I was living in this really shitty apartment, like this basement apartment in Queens. And like I had this drain in the center of my floor, and the drain would back up and like put like rainwater and just stuff from the street into your apartment. And
oh God,
it had like woke me up one night, and I was just mad and frustrated. And I look over and I have like a mirror on the wall, and I don't know, it was maybe the first time I'd really looked at myself, and I was just so unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was like, I just didn't like who I saw in the mirror. And it was like, all right, well, something has to change. I think that the very first thing is I have to start taking care of my health. And at that point, I had to take a long sobriety break. I was smoking cigarettes at this point, still like a pack a day smoker. And so I went cold turkey on a lot of things for a couple months until I could get myself back under control. And I decided to start, I was like, I'm going to start going to the gym. I had no idea what I was doing. I look up something online, and it gives me all these exercises to do. And the key part of it though, is at the very end of this thing that I just happened to download, at the end of it, it said, go for a 1 mile run. Doesn't matter how fast you do it. Just go run a mile at the end of this workout. I was like, I can do this. I used to run 2 miles in high school. I know how to run a mile.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, I hadn't ran in a while. And woof. Oh man. And it was so challenging. And I remember just like how humbling that experience was. And as like the days kept going and the days added into weeks, I started to feel better about myself. And what was funny was the workouts were fine, but what I really started to love was the run at the end. And eventually I was like, you know what? I think I can run 2 miles. So I started running 2 miles, and I had like this same route that I would run every day. And where I was living was, I was close enough to this park in Astoria, Queens. And so I was like, this park is 1 mile away from my apartment. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run to this park and I'm running back from the park. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that a couple days a week. I'd run to the park. I'd run back from the park. Things were starting to build up. I started to really enjoy it. I started going out almost every day for a run, even if I didn't go to the gym. And I don't know. I don't think I called myself a runner by any means. I didn't know about the running community. I didn't know about anybody in it. But I just started to find a place for it and really love just being out on the run. And like the more that I ran, I think the more that I liked myself,
mm-hmm.
the more that I liked the kind of person I was. It's wild to look back and think about how I was before I started running and who I am now. And I'm in a place where I really love who I am. And I think it's really exciting.
Did you like in realizing where you were yourself, did like, so you started exercise and then with running and then found something you like, which was the run and stuff, which is cool to hear because it's like little by little. But did you also like part of maybe, did you find that part of the problems that you were having were because of your surrounding, maybe working in the bar and working in a brewery and stuff like that? Did you also have to disconnect from those things as well? Or did you just find a different way to handle them, to approach them?
I definitely had to. There was a point when I was bartending and still when all this started, I told myself I need to first start off with like 3 months at least of total sobriety. Got to get myself back on track. And that was really challenging working in the bar, working at the brewery. By no means did it ever feel like, oh, I can't work here anymore. Because, I mean, the people that I worked with, I love all of those, the places that I worked at. And I still, now that I'm in like a positive place in my life, I love to go to both of them.
yeah.
And still see all my buds there, all my friends, a lot of them still work there. And really what it was is I felt like it just wasn't in line with me continuing to move forward, that holding those kind of places down really was just keeping me from moving forward. That if I wanted to continue to make progress, and I was like, there was a point when I decided after the that I wanted to go all in on running, that I loved it so much that it needed to be just like the thing I do in my life. And that was, at that point, I was working at the bar a couple days a week. I was doing this touring children's theater.
Nice.
So I was driving around the country in a little minivan, talking to kids about bullying, through theater. And no matter where I was at, I would just be thinking, man, I wish I was running right now. I wish I was doing this thing that I like. And I don't think that you should, if you're in your job, your career, work, whatever you call it, if you're spending all your time thinking about something else while you're doing that, I think you need to make a switch. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was at. I just like, I wasn't enjoying what I was doing anymore. And I figured it was time to move forward and roll the dice, try something new.
For sure. And you mentioned too, like not knowing what was out there for you. And like, you know, now I think we're both in our respective like communities, and how special that place can be. And I think, you know, we're not coming from the same place, but I've also been in the kind of run community for about 5 years now. So it's been pretty eye-opening for me. It's special. It's like everything to me right now. It's what brought me to this podcast. Do you remember how it went from running, you know, solo, you know, 1-2 miles, a couple times a week to meeting this amazing community that we're both part of?
I absolutely do. So like, I think it's the funniest way. The way this happened. So I'd been running. I hadn't ran anything of length really. My partner Jesse, she sent me a link to this race in Central Park, and it was through New York Road Runners. They're like the main group in the city. And she was like, "Honey, I think you should run this race." And I was like, oh, "I've never ran a race like this. I don't know what I'm doing. This isn't." It was a 10K, and ended up going and running, and I really enjoyed it. I had a great time. And one thing that really struck me during this race was I could see all these people wearing their singlets. I mean, I think I called them tank tops at that point. But I was like, where did everybody get all these tank tops, and why do some of them match? And I see some, I was like, who are all of these people? Who are these groups? Why are they wearing the same things? I ran this 10K, had no idea what I was doing. A couple weeks later, a friend of mine was like, you should, I got this half marathon that I'm running next weekend. You should totally run it. I had never ran longer than a 10K before. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what I was doing. I was like, oh, why not? My buddy Addison was like, we should run this. Oh, that sounds fun. And, signed up, ran this half, same experience. I'm looking and I'm seeing all these people in all these singlets, and everybody's like grouped up beforehand. And that's like what really struck me from the very beginning. And so I was like, people, I feel like the weird one right now because I'm here alone. And running has always struck me as like a solo activity, but I see all these groups, I see all these things. And I ran like the Brooklyn half a couple weeks later, had a really good time enjoying both of these things. And after the half, I had a friend suggest to me to go take a class at this studio in the city called Mile High Run Club. Now I work there now.
Right.
Spoiler alert. I work there. it's my spot. But I had a friend who was like, Matt, you really like running. You should come check this place out. And that's this. So we're an indoor treadmill studio. Everybody's on woodways. There's music. There's lights. And what happens is you are, as a coach, on the headset, and you coach everybody through a workout. Everything's pretty much based on time, but it's no different than if you were to show up to a track practice and we're like, all right, guys, today we're doing 6x1,000. This is how we're doing it. I'm structuring it this way. And now I would do that in the studio. And same thing happened that day. I went in and I took this class with friend Vinny. So I had no idea at that point, but Vinny was going to be one of my best friends out here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was running. I was just like, I was loving it. I'd never done speed work before. I had no idea. All I'd ever do was just, you run. Do you run faster? I don't know. I just run. There's no intervals. There's no nothing. I'm just like, I'm just going to go outside for however long I can. I was like, this is so much fun. The intervals broke it up, and I'd never even heard of this before. And afterwards, Vinny, who's the coach, was like, dude, you're pretty fast. How you do? Who do you run for? And that phrase really got me. I was like, I run for myself. He's like, well, do you run for a team or a club? I don't run for any of those people. Nope. He's like, well, tonight I want you to come meet some friends. He'd met me maybe 30 seconds before he asked me this. Mm-hmm. He's like, tonight, there's a beer mile at East River Track and you should come. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. A beer mile. I totally know what a beer mile is. I had no idea what beer mile was. But I was like, all right, I'm just gonna, I will be there for a beer mile, whatever that is. I looked up on my phone immediately afterwards. It's like, all right, here are the rules. Beer mile. Oh, I can do this. So I go to this race, it was just like a fun group. It wasn't like sanctioned by any means. Mm-hmm. And it was just at a track that's down in East River Park in New York City in Manhattan. And even more so than at any of those big races, this just felt like a big group of friends hanging out. And that was, I think, something that I completely missed since I'd been in the city. I'd never been in a community out there. I had never felt like I had a group of friends or like a label that I could attach to me saying like, I'm like part of this. I'm part of something. And as soon as I got there to this race, I mean, I was terrible at my beer mile. I think I came in second to last, definitely blue chunks. but it was so much fun. And I had all these people that were like, hey, how are you? I'm so-and-so. Who are you? What are you running? What's your next race? How's your training going? And like, nobody, I didn't have to prove anything. Everybody just was like, all right, this guy's all right. He's showing up. He's trying to drink his beer and he's having some fun. Mm-hmm. And from then on, I remember I got some folks' phone numbers that night and they're like, hey, what are you doing on, what's your long run on Saturday? And I was like, oh, my long run. I totally know what, I was just gonna just go over here, just a little, just like avoiding the question. And they're like, oh, you should come out with us. And so I started, hanging out with friends and like started running long on the weekends. And before I knew it, it was just like Tuesday mornings, I was going to do speed work. Thursday nights, there was this tempo. Saturday mornings, I'd meet up with a bunch of friends for a long run. Friday mornings, there was like this great, like easy social run on Friday mornings that I would go to. And it was just like an immediate change in my life that I... Now running not only like gave me a way to feel better about myself, but I had all these friends. I had this community that like the more that I would dig into it, the more that I realized how big it was, how many people there were, and I just kept meeting more and more people. And it was life changing. It changed everything for me. And now it's 100% what I do now, and running's the ticket for me. It's all I do now. I'm a running coach. I'm a like personal one-on-one coach. So I do private training. I'm a personal trainer. I am a coach at Mile High Run Club now, which was like the minute I finished that class with Vinny, I was like, I want to work here. This is the place I want to be. And it just kept going from there. Like I hadn't ran a marathon. I had a friend who was like, so what marathon are you training for? And I, much like with the beer mile, I fumbled. I was like, that other one. And they were like, cause everybody was talking like, oh, I'm running Chicago. I'm running New York. And someone was like, Matt, what run are you running? Are you running Philly? And I was like, yes. I am running the Philadelphia Marathon. That is the one. Now, mind you, this was like, I think like, I looked this up on my Instagram. Someone asked me this question a while back. It was like 14 weeks before the marathon. And so I was like, oh yeah, I'm running Philly. Immediately got on my phone, bought a bib for the Philly Marathon. And I was like, look, totally running the Philly Marathon. And it's like, I guess I'm just, all my friends do it. So I guess I'm going to do it. Best kind of peer pressure.
Exactly.
And it just keeps going from there. Like, I don't know. I see no end in sight. And that's what's just so exciting.
For sure. How is the Philly Marathon, by the way? It was your first one, so I'm sure it has a close place in your heart, but.
It really does. I had no idea what I was doing. I had a really fun time. I ran with a good buddy of mine. I had made the, as soon as I learned what, I didn't really know what times were in the marathon. I'd asked a couple of my friends and I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to, what are you going to do? I was like, I think I'm going to run 3 hours for the marathon. It's going to go for a 3-hour marathon off the bat and seemed reasonable. for not doing any, for not knowing what I was doing. And I ended up running like I ran 257 on my first day. I had so much fun. And the Philly Marathon is great. I would run it again right now. If someone asked me, what are you doing tomorrow morning? I have my Saturday long run. I would go run the Philly Marathon tomorrow. I really enjoyed it. It was, I don't know, what's the phrase? If you want to, it's like, if you want to see a different world, try running. If you want to change your life, run a marathon, something like that.
Mm.
And I think that I rode the high from that marathon for months. It changed how it just, like, I looked, I was like, wow, I can do whatever I want. If I decide I want to do something, I can make it happen. All I have to do is pull it in, like dedicate time and effort. I don't know. I think I gained a lot of confidence from that race, and it just deepened the love that it's, and it's only going deeper from there.
Yeah. It's a crazy sport, you know. And the reason I'm laughing so much listening to you talk is because I see parallels in, like, I've been there. Like what you're saying, like it's how it goes, you know. It might not be everyone's intro, but like so many similarities between what I experienced and what you have kind of getting introduced to the running community, and like how powerful it is and how so quickly one thing leads to another. And it's just like, this is just how it goes. And it's such a amazing community to be part of, no matter where you are in the world, like whether you're in Montreal where I am or New York where you are. And it's really cool to hear that you've now, like, your life is wrapped in running, and like you're a great ambassador for running now. And it's just how you're, you know, how you're sharing your experience with others, but also, like, you know, try to make other people feel welcome. Do you find that how you were treated when you got introduced to these groups, is that, do you feel like you do the same when you meet new runners or people come to your studio to try a class? Do you feel like you could see a little bit of yourself in them?
Oh, absolutely. That's like, I brought it up earlier, like the best part about running is that there's room for everybody. Mm-hmm. That it's not like there's only this many spots or this many slots. It's just like, do you want to do this? Do you want to make a place for this in your life? Absolutely. Cool. I'm so excited. The more people, the better. And like right now, I feel like we're in a, I'm trying to think what everybody's been calling it. It's the next, the next wave of running that we've had you look at like big economic turmoil and that connection to running. And how this is like another big running boom, that everything with COVID-19, that people are running a lot, for most people, the only option to find some fitness and wellness. And I think that that's a huge opportunity to really pull more people in. That's what I'm hoping to do in times like this. Like, I am so lucky to have found this community, and I want to share it with everybody. And New York is... New York is special. It's millions of people on a tiny little couple of islands, and the running community is so deep, and there's so many people to it. You'll go to a local race and you're like, how are there this many people who are into this same thing, and we're all here working hard, running the same distance. It just gets really exciting. And something I love in the last, in addition to Mile High, I coach for a competitive club called Streets 101. I'm one of our founding coaches. And something that I truly love is seeing people who are newish to running, kind of found their way into it, and then seeing that transition for them from when it's just like something you do on your own to being part of something bigger, and how we'll have people who maybe have ran a marathon before, maybe have ran half, 10K, whatever the race happens to be. And then they realize what you can do when you work together with a team. Oh, man. You want to, I mean, what is it? You want to go fast, work hard. You want to go far, work with a team and work together. It's extremely gratifying to see how people have, how people grow and take so quickly to what you can offer. And it doesn't take much for you as a coach. Most of the times, all you got to do is give somebody a little push and just say like, hey, you should try this. Hey, what are you like, literally in the same way it was given to me, like, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing Saturday? What are you doing on this next weekend? We're running over here. Oh, we're running to the beach next weekend. Whatever it is, just, I don't know. I think that you just have to be open and welcoming and give people the opportunity to grow and change and really surprise themselves. Running changes how you think about yourself. And I'm really so lucky to be a part of it in New York. I'm surrounded by legends every day. And they just makes you more, even more excited. And just you want to keep it growing. You want to keep showing up. And
for sure.
Oh, I love it.
What were some early struggles that you had in your running career that you can share with us to maybe help a beginner out, or like any advice you could give?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've made plenty of mistakes. I love making mistakes. I'm really good at it.
It's the only way you learn.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that like, I'm trying currently to really grow competitively as a runner. I have some big, terrifyingly exciting goals in my running life. And a lot of the times the people that I'm racing and working with have a lot more experience than I do. So I think about it rather than a negative, as I just stand the most to gain. If I'm a sponge in this situation, cool. That means that I can learn more. I have the opportunity to learn more and to grow more, which is, I don't know, at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is find progress and keep building. But as far as tips, golly, when I was first starting out, I ran in the worst shoes. Go to a real running store, y'all. Go to a real running store and have them fit you for some shoes. Obviously, right now, COVID makes things challenging, but a lot of places that you've been doing virtual stuff, like, just make sure you get a quality pair of shoes so that you don't get hurt. Because the number one rule of running, besides do it because you like it, is don't get injured.
Yeah.
Number one rule is don't get injured. I think that I was super lucky that the friends that I made in the running community were all super knowledgeable. So they kind of guided me pretty well at the beginning. Don't be in a hurry to ramp your stuff up, to ramp your mileage up. That really wrecked me. When I was within my first year of running, I had like dealt with all sorts of stuff. Like I just went from, I'm an all or nothing kind of person. I don't like to tiptoe around. I like to, if I'm into it, I am so into it. And running was no different. So I really just dove in a little too aggressively at things. So just in the beginning, like, take your time, enjoy it. Make sure that you're setting up like healthy habits. Keep your easy runs easy. I had after Philly Marathon, I got invited to run the Speed Project, and I got so excited. And I just came off this great marathon, and I was like, "Holy shit, I can do so much more. I feel great. Let's go!" And so I looked around at anybody, like some of my fast friends and people I knew in the community, and I realized they were all running high mileage. They're running like 85 plus miles a week. And I was like, cool, I'm going to do that. What's this thing, 100 mile a week? Oh, totally. I can run 100 mile a week. And I did a couple of those, and terrible choice. I got super fit, but about 2 weeks before the Speed Project, knew that I had messed up my body, something fierce. And I had bilateral stress fractures in both of my shins, so both my tibias. And
I made a really strong choice of not telling anyone and proceeding to run the Speed Project anyway. For anybody who doesn't know, I don't know if you've covered it on the pod. The Speed Project is a 340-mile relay with you and five others, so six total people. You run from Santa Monica Pier in Los Angeles to the Welcome to Las Vegas sign in Vegas. It's 340 miles, so it ends up, I ended up running about 65 miles myself. All of this was within, my team ran it in about 41 hours, I think. And yeah, I did it all with cracks in my bones. And it hurt so terribly. I think I can think about it. Like, that pain is so visceral always. Never again. So I learned that lesson that you can't just, like, don't be too eager. It's running is a slow process. To get to run fast, you got to run slow. And I think that I've never been good at being patient. I'm definitely working on that, but, be patient. Let the growth happen. I think that's probably my biggest running advice to anybody. Just be patient, cool. Put in the time, enjoy it. And yeah, don't run on stress fractures. That really sucks. I had to take so much time off after that. I was in a boot. I couldn't run for 3 months. And
The Speed Project's a special kind of thing. You know, it's like, how could you give up that opportunity? So it must have been tough to even, muster up that kind of performance or like mileage even in that kind of race, because, you know, you don't want to let your team down either, right? So
exactly. And that was the thing, is that there was no way I was going to let my team down. And so, and it was, I was really lucky. I got to race for Take the Bridge, which it's a race organization I'm a part of now. They were the first people to ever introduce me into like the crew, the unsanctioned racing scene. And I still to this day hold all of Take the Bridge in very high regard. Myself, I guess it's kind of weird saying I hold myself in high regard. I work with it. But I was like, I can't just let this go. So I gritted my teeth and got her done.
For sure. There's so many layers to your story too, like the Take the Bridge aspect too. And you're also a podcast host and the TSP stuff. Like, how did you get wrapped in with Darcy? Like, I've had her on the podcast as well, and she's such a great ambassador as well. And
Darcy,
how'd that all come about?
Well, that first summer that I was running, I will always remember, this was like the most head over heels introduction to running. And I just got thrown in. This is, before I'd ran that Philly marathon. All my friends would, I remember they were like, it was a similar situation where they're like, yo, what are you doing? This Saturday. And I was like, I'm not doing anything. The Saturday night, they're like, are you going to come watch Take the Bridge? Are you racing? I had no idea what they were talking about. And so I had some friends, they're like, all right, so what you got to do? You got to go meet under the Manhattan Bridge. There's this really specific location. Here it is. There's going to be a race. And I was like, it's a race at night? And they're like, yeah, it's a race at night. It's not in the park? No, it's in the streets. It's on a bridge. There's no rules. There was everything was going on. I was super stoked about it. And so I was like, I have no idea what's happening. I show up. They give me a bunch of like glow sticks and some confetti. And they're like, hey, we need some people to go stand on the bridge and go cheer. And I was like, this is so exciting. All these people just came out of nowhere and we're all here on this bridge, and it started pouring rain, and all these folks were just so fast and they were running back and forth. And it was like, it was one of those badass things I'd ever seen. I was like, these folks are hard. These are hard people. They are ripping across the bridge and it's a downpour. And I was like, I got to try this. I got to be a part of whatever this is. And my friends who I'd known introduced me to Darcy. Now Darcy and I talk every day. So they introduced me to Darcy, who runs Take the Bridge, and I was like, wins the next race. A month later, this is all part of the summer series. And so the summer series is something we do in the summer, naturally. It's three races that we do in the city. It's all pretty pared down stuff, really just fun local running. And so I ran the next race probably a couple weeks later. And golly, it was love at first race. Love at first race, I think that's what we'll call it.
Yeah, let's do that.
And it was the first, like, I by no means had a lot of racing experience, but this felt totally different. There was no mile marker, there was no pace, there was no, I had no idea how, you don't know how long the race is. It was unsanctioned, people were running everywhere. I remember on this race specifically, there was a shortcut. And if you knew to take the shortcut, it saved you a lot. And I was like, we can take shortcuts. You had to like jump over a fence and run through a little bit of construction, and it was so much fun. And then from then on, I was like, I was in it, and I started not only racing, but I'd be volunteering at the races. And the more time that I spent with the team, with Take the Bridge, that. Eventually, that was when they invited me to run for Speed Project. From there, it just kept growing. I got brought on as I work with Take the Bridge now. I'm the head of community outreach. So whenever we go to cities, whenever we go into cities, I'm one of the people who reaches out beforehand and talks to the community, talks to the crews, talks to who we're going to be working with. I help seed our fields. I'm also on the day of the race. I'm the hype man in chief. Try to keep things fun and exciting. And it's so funny. Like podcasts, I really love whenever you get to like kind of go back and tell a story, because sometimes you haven't really connected all the dots. Mm-hmm. And when you finally say it out loud, you're like, wow, that's actually how that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we missed you in Montreal, dude, when you guys brought Take the Bridge to our city, and for the very first time, and I had big shoes to fill on your own podcast. So you guys had asked me to kind of fill in as a co-host or co-anchor or whatever you want to call it.
And you nailed it, honestly. I was like, thanks. Wow. So I've been setting a low bar for these. This is actually how it's done. So yeah, now that was something that we added this year, is the Take the Bridge podcast. Is that we've been what we do is before we go to any cities, we reach out, we interview the crews, we talk to the founding members, we ask them, we find out more about what makes their community special. Something I think that I love about the running community is it's so much the same but different everywhere you go. Finding out what makes them unique, how they came about, how what makes them special. Love it. And so I get to run that with Darcy, which I love. It's just really interesting to be able to see everybody, to learn so much about all these, like this huge global running community. And it feels simultaneously so big, but also like super familiar, even when you meet someone new.
I mean, like for us, like we had spoken, I don't even know if we spoke when I met you in New York. I think we probably just like messaged through social media a little bit, and
pretty sure that's what it was.
But then coming to New York City for the marathon last year, we got to actually, we did the shakeout with Meb and
Meb.
Yeah. And have a chat ourselves. So we did a couple strides next to the park, which was fun. And that was pretty much the gist of it. But
that was great.
Yeah. But yeah. It's like, you know, you can have a conversation with somebody that you never met, but like we're all part of the same community, right? The global run community. And
it doesn't feel like whenever you're meeting somebody like that, like, it never feels like you're meeting for the first time. You have this, there's this shared experience within running, and it just feels like whenever you meet somebody like that, you're like, I feel like I've already known you, you're already part of the community. So this just makes sense. It feels like a natural progression.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. It's like, you know, this person, oh, okay, well I'm so-and-so and welcome to our run, or, you know, whatever. It's always
you know, this person who knows this person.
Oh. Yeah. Here's a beer. And then you chat with them for an hour.
And then it just goes and it goes and it goes. That's what really gets me. Ugh. That it just like the friendships in the community are so quick. And that's something we've really found, especially in our touring through Take the Bridge, is that we'll go somewhere, we'll set up a race, we'll meet people that day. And that night it feels like we're hanging out, and it feels like you've been with your friends for ages.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Well, what was your favorite place to take the bridge?
There's lots of really wonderful ones, but I think that my personal favorite, and this is just because I love the people there so much, was Austin, Texas. I've got some friends there now that are just wonderful human beings, and it was such a fun event. We got to work out with the Loop down in Austin. If anybody's ever down in Austin, Texas, and you need running shoes, if you need to go for a run, you need to just find some friends, go to the Loop. They're right off of Lady Bird Lake, right down on in the center of downtown. And it was just, to this day, I have friends now from Austin who I see at races, who sometimes business takes them to New York and we hang out. Can't wait to go back. That's a place that I will go back independently of Take the Bridge. So I'm just like, I just got to go see my friends in Austin, honestly. Mm-hmm. Really what it is. Just got to go see my homies.
Exactly. I want to take it back to, you know, your first marathon was something else at 2:57, and it's a competitive time, you know, for a first marathon. You've steadily brought that time down over the last 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were you always competitive? Is that in you? To be competitive, is it with yourself or with others? Where do you get that drive to lower that time, you know? And it's significant right now, because it's like, you know, last year you did 2:34, right? 2:34 in New York.
34 in New York.
So it's like you've had, I had a big bump a couple of years ago from 2:54 to 2:45, right? It's a big jump. But anytime you make a big jump, there's got to be some fire in you to kind of get that done, because it's taking it to the next level. So were you always that way? And what kind of brought you to that point to realize I want to chop at the marathon, because it's the real deal, you know?
Yeah. There's no bullshit in the marathon. There's no way to fake your way through it. I don't know. If anybody here has never read any essays by Peter Bromka, Peter's a good friend of mine, a mentor, someone who I deeply look up to. And he always says that the marathon doesn't owe you anything. And that's the thing, is you can never go into a marathon expecting it's going to go great. Says who? Marathon owes you nothing. But he's the following sentence, he says, the marathon owes you nothing, but because of that, in that emptiness, it gives you the option to pour everything. And mm-hmm. I don't think I'd ever found anything like that. I've never been competitive. I've never, in any of these sporting events, I can think about some small things here and there where I got competitive. I wrestled in high school. My dad was a state champion wrestler, so he was very good, and he was a coach, and I feel like there was some some of that competitive spark in me at that point, but that was mostly to like make my dad proud. And I don't know, as when it first started out, I don't know if it was that competition was really there. I don't know. There wasn't anybody that I was, that I knew that I was racing, but, I think I ran that first half, my first half I ran, I think, 1:30, no idea what I was doing. 2 weeks later, I had another one, lowered it down to 1:25. And I think in that moment, I was like, I love that my competition, my progress, my growth is not dependent on anybody else. That, yes, I love racing other people. I have people who I'm always like neck and neck with in races now. But especially at that point, and I didn't know anybody, the only person I was trying to beat was myself. And that's still true to this day, that you can always like look in the mirror and see like, there's my biggest competition. It's me, where I was yesterday. And for the marathon, I think that it's just, it's sometimes hard to put into words about how I feel about it, that it's this random arbitrary distance that asks you for everything. And think in how hard that distance is, that the fact that every time I get done with a marathon, I know I can go more. Like, I finish, and I mean, obviously, the minute you cross the finish line, you're like, oh God, I'm dying. Mm-hmm. But after that, like, usually, like, once, like, everything calms down, like, 5-10 minutes later, I always think, like, I can go deeper. I can do more. And I always know that there's more. And when I first ran Philly, it was like, the thing that I'd heard of was qualifying for Boston. And I was like, oh, that's an amazing long-term challenge, a goal that I can reach for. And then it happened right away. And mm-hmm. I don't know, if what is it? Alexi Pappas says that if your dreams aren't big and scary, you need bigger dreams. And I just, that was like one that I was like, all right, that wasn't big enough. I need to reach for something bigger. And so then I was like, I think maybe within a couple months, I discovered, this was, I think must've been in my first, I think it was after Chicago. I ran Chicago in 2018, and it was a little less than a year after Philly. And I chopped my time down to 2:42. Mm-hmm. And I did it with, I came off that stress fracture. I'd only been able to run like 30 miles a week. And I was just so surprised. I was like, all right, wow. I can do even better on this. And I wasn't even able to really get a good training cycle in. But I thought that I was like, I can still go farther. And so the dream right now is I want to qualify for the US Olympic trials. So that means running a 2-hour and 19 marathon, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's impossible. I think it's a huge, crazy dream that scares me. And that's something that I love about it. And I think that competitive drive has never been a part of my life. Even in like in theater, there's competition. You're working with other people, trying to, like, especially in like the audition setting, that you're trying to get a certain role. Same thing with dance. Like, you might want to be this principal dancer, and there's not that many slots for it. And I don't know, that competitive drive was never there for me, and running has brought it out. And it just brought out this whole other side of me that I never knew was there, that I never expected to see, to find. And I think that the more that I get into it, that drive, that want to be more, to find something deeper, just keeps getting better. And now, like, I mean, Boston was postponed this year. I had really big, exciting goals for Boston, and I was really expecting to be super torn up that it wasn't happening. Cause I mean, that's part of the reason why we're having this interview this week, is that we had planned on actually doing this in person
in Boston. Yeah.
Because what is today? The 17th. Boston is supposed to happen in 3 days. And
on Monday,
I was feeling fit, ready to go. And what's exciting is after like the initial shock that it wasn't happening, I was like, well, cool. This doesn't affect it. Like, what is it in Once a Runner when they're talking about they took it away from us, and I was like, they didn't take away anything.
No, nothing. Come on.
Like, exactly. Nothing is taken. The dream is still there. Dream is still there, and that the fact that cool. I was like, cool. They're just bumping the date. Things keep going, and it's just if you are finding the competition within yourself, I think that you don't even need the race. The race is just part of the a cog in the whole thing. But
yeah, the race is that there is the parade, you know,
like that's the party.
I interviewed last year in Boston. I interviewed Tommy Rivers Pusey.
Oh, Tommy Rivers.
Yeah. Yeah. And so got to meet up with him, and he's like, in our interview, he's like, you know, Boston's like the, it's like, this is the parade and we're the float. Like, that's what it is.
It's, you know, it's a celebration of the runners.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, so it's a privilege, you know, like to not have a race and to say like, oh, everything's gone, everything's out the window. Like for me, like what you were saying about process, like there's nothing more true than that, you know, like if that's the mentality, then what are we actually doing it for? You know, whereas like,
it's not for the race. It's not for a time or a medal. It's like the days and the weeks and the months that go into that one run.
That's it.
Those are the big parts. Like, what is it? Dez put up this thing yesterday that really got me. And she's like, yeah, all you people out there who say that you love the process, now's the time. Now's the time to show that you really do. There's no one watching. No, there's no races. If you really love it, go out and do it. Because there's
nothing
holding you back. There's no one to prove it to. It's just for you. Like, I'm running for myself right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on a streak too myself. My friend motivated me. He's like, he's going to laugh because I mentioned it to everybody I talked to, but he's doing 20K every day for 50 days, right? And so he started doing this thing, and I'm like, wow, you're nuts. I'm like, maybe I can't do 20 a day consist like for that many days. But like at that point, I was running maybe 30, 40K a week. And because I didn't have Boston to train for, I hadn't signed up this year. I just like was going to go do Berlin in September, but I didn't really have a drive to train very hard during the winter, just to give myself a break and a rest for when it started getting nicer outside, right? But start running like every day, you know, and now it's like 10K a day for the last couple weeks. And I feel great. You know, I'm just like enjoying getting fit again. And like, I love to go out and get some fresh air, especially in this time where we're stuck indoors, you know, but that's what I love. Like I have nothing. Like, I'm not signed up for anything. And if Berlin doesn't happen, which I'm not sure it will, but I'm not so worried about it. It's just like, go out and do what you do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to train for right now besides, what is it? I'm training for life.
Exactly.
Training for life, baby. It's like we're in these unprecedented times where you have to get down to why it is that you do what you do. Like, not some people really need the structure of a race cycle to work in, and that's totally understandable. But finding other things, other road marks or ways to goals to reach for, things to pull in, and
it's at the end of the day, it's all up to what you want. That's one of the best parts of running, is you get what you put into it. If you want to, if you want to be really casual about your running right now, hell yeah. Just like run when you want, be comfortable about it. You don't have to worry about, oh man, I'm going to show up and not be able to really perform in this race. No longer a problem. But exactly. Also, yeah, but also you can just relax. You can chill, but you can also pour into it right now. You can try some new things that might have been different for you. Like right now, my intensity is way down. I'm running like one workout a week. But I've just been, my mileage is down. I've just been trying to get comfortable and consistent. I'm up here at about 4,000 feet. So not crazy elevation, but enough to feel it. And I'm running a lot of hills out here. I'm feeling personally very slow, but very strong. Just running up a lot of mountains.
Yeah, that's awesome. It must be nice to get out of the city, right? You're in Montana now, right? So.
Oh yeah, and it's so different, so different. Yeah. And I think I'd been, I don't think I'd been struggling with motivation in the city, because I love having the structure of weekly training. It just, it's part of how I operate. And it was nice to have everything out here, because now it's all, feels very different. It feels like I'm a whole different training block, and I'm like in, I'm at altitude camp or something.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Get in that mindset, you know?
Oh yeah. I'm that's what I'm telling myself. I'm like, I'm pretending to live the life of a pro runner.
That's it. Well, I said it the other day. I was like, this is the closest I'm ever going to feel to being a professional. Like, exactly. I can run every day. Like, I could do my foam roll and take a nap. And
you can double whenever you want. You're like, oh man. Kyle Merber said this great thing on Twitter, like right when this all started up. And he was like, oh man, I've never felt more seen as a professional runner. My wife's home, working from home. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm just gonna foam roll again. Don't mind me.
Just gonna be over here. Oh man,
just over here.
So for you, like, what does the process look like in your training? You know, because you've like we've said, you made some significant gains. So what has that process been like for you, and how have you like adapted to be? Is it just being more consistent? Is it you're adding certain things every block? Like, what's your secret, Matt?
Oh, I'd say that I have two secrets that aren't even big secrets. I have a coach.
Okay.
So this coach has a coach. His name's Stephen Kirsch. He's the damn best. I love him. And we've been working together for about a year and a half now. So I have someone who can objectively look at my training cycle and guide me, which is so helpful. Coaches need coaches. It's just like, it's great to have someone to personally cater your work to you. Since I've dropped another 10 minutes off my marathon since we've started working together. And now it's getting to the point where like, a 15 minute jump from earlier in my cycle was much more manageable than just squeaking out like a minute or two here and there. As you get down towards that other end of the spectrum, it's just getting harder and harder to make those smaller and smaller jumps in time. Mm-hmm. But having that is key. Someone who looks at my stuff, keeps me on track, is really, really helpful. But in addition to that, I'm super into strength work. Having strength as the background changes everything. You're so much more durable. You feel exhausted for about like your first month that you are really working through some good run specific strength, but then you just feel pretty unbreakable. It's my last really, really good race of this season before everything got shut down.
I ran this 10 miler in Prospect Park. For anybody who knows, Prospect Park is basically a 5K loop. It's like 3.3 miles, I believe. So just a little over a 5K. But in it, it's a lot. It's just you're either on a hill or you're coming down a hill. There's no flat. It's just like one of the best Boston training spots in it's in Brooklyn in the city. Mm-hmm. It was three loops of the park, and I was on a tear. I ran at like 5:18 pace per mile for 10 miles, and I was blown away with myself. Like, my coach had told me beforehand, he was like, "Matt, I think you can run about this time." It's like, gosh, that's like really aggressive. I appreciate that you think I can. That's very sweet of you. And then I remember coming around the corner on like the fat, because you'd end up doing three loops at the park. And I remember coming around the corner, and I had felt like so strong this whole time climbing these hills. You ended up doing about 1,500 feet of elevation gain in 10 miles. So wow. It's decently steep. And even when I'm starting to feel fatigued, like when I think about how I am in the back of these races, like the strength work that you put in is what's going to carry you. When you get past mile 20 and everything feels kind of like it's going to hell in a handbasket, you just strength work really has been the game changer for me, that I just don't feel like I'm breaking down on the back of the race. Sure, I'm tired. Everybody, even the pros, everybody, there's no way to get to the last 5K of the marathon and not feel like, oh, I think this is the end. That's just how the race works. It's the same for everybody. If it's your first marathon, if you're an Olympic champion, the last 5K is hard for everyone.
Right.
But I've been able to put some good races together.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's awesome. I think it's something that I'm trying to add to my repertoire, something I didn't really do all that much before, but like I'm looking at it. I'm saying, well, it's good to change like one thing in your between cycles, you know, to kind of, especially in this time where we have the time at home, there's no excuses, you know. I'm trying to do it 3 days a week, and it's starting to feel good on my runs, you know. Legs are tired when I start, but like just sore from like, you know, squats and lunges and such. But I could see it really. Everyone you talk to kind of swears by it. You're also friends with you mentioned him earlier in this recording, but Peter Bromka. How do you know Peter? And what a year he's had in like his pursuit for the Olympic trials. And has he kind of like got into your brain a little bit, since that's now a goal that you have?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to make sure that I forward this episode on to Peter. I'll text him after this, but he's one of like my biggest influences in the, if we think about like the national or the global running community, Peter's one of the biggest influences on me. Just in the fact that he is so candid and open about what he wants, even when like the dreams are big and crazy, that he's not afraid to just put it out there. And like, I think there's a lot of power in speaking your goals, that other people can hold you responsible to them. And I love that. And Peter's someone who's, he's openly shared his process, and we talk all the time. He's had an amazing year, and golly, just watching the way that he trains and the way that he races is someone who I look up to, and just that's the goal right there. Last year in Boston, he got to run in the pro field, so he had his name on the bib, and I told him that's the goal right there. That's one of the dreams for me, is to be running a major marathon and to have my last name stamped on a bib that I get to wear. That's makes my heart sing thinking about it. But I remember the way that Peter and I met was someone forwarded me his article, the most everybody has read it. That being the marathon owes you nothing, and it was. I'm trying to remember how I got in contact. I'm pretty sure that I found Peter through Instagram, and I reached out to him, and I said, "Hey, you have no idea who I am. My name's Matt, and your article really got me. And I don't know. I think I said something like, I feel like you felt like you were writing it right to me. If you guys don't know him, check him out. He is an inspirational human being who is by no means done. He's got big goals, and they're gonna happen. And golly, what a guy.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I started following him too recently, and you know, I reached out to him as well to be on our podcast. It'd be an honor. Like I do follow, just like I follow Rivs, there are two guys that I follow on Instagram that, like, when they post something, I read their whole post and because there's so much meaning behind what they're saying, and how much they're willing to share with people is, like, incredible. And you could feel their drive, feel their triumphs and the struggles and the, you know, the ups and the downs that runners go through, and I think you can really relate, just like you did with Peter's article, to these runners, and like, they're real human beings, which is, like, you know, they're just like us. They love to run, you know.
Absolutely, I think that you really get to connect with them on, like, that one-on-one level. That it's like when I see like Peter is someone who I consider a good close friend. But especially some of the other pros that, like, you may not know on a personal one-on-one level, you still feel that you're connected to them. It's almost like, oh, my friends are racing today. And you can, that connection is so absolutely there. It's, I don't know any other sports that I don't really have that. And the one-on-one nature of running, that we all do the same thing. Like, everybody runs if you run the marathon, it's not like anybody runs a shorter or faster or a longer distance than you do. It's everybody's running the same race, and there's that, I don't know, that commonality between it all.
Yeah, that's it. We race the same course on the same day, and, like, mm-hmm. the fastest people are running just ahead of you, and it's we all get to the finish line, that, well, hopefully. But yeah, it makes it really special for sure. Who inspires you? Is it, I mean, there's so many people in your life, and this run community, like, is there one person that inspires you? Is it multiple people? Like, where do you find, that passion to dig, and, like, who fires you up?
I mean, I'm lucky. I'm surrounded by so many really talented runners, mm-hmm. That when the bar is held high, you just naturally want to show up to that bar that you want to reach, you want to grow, you want to continue to find more. It's funny, we talked about Peter before this, but Peter's like a massive inspiration of mine. Someone who I really am like, bam, that's where I want to be. I want to be able to run with the best of them and mm-hmm. still be true to yourself, being who you are while you're still doing that. I'm lucky. I have some incredible training partners. A lot of my running I end up doing solo. So everything with COVID kind of feels almost business as usual. with my weird schedule, waking up at the crack of dawn and having to, I don't by no means have a 9-to-5. So a lot of the times I'm, like, busy in common blocks throughout the day that other people would be running. Mm. But, I'm lucky. One of my good buddies, his name's Greg Laraya. He's one of my other coaches with me at Streets 101, and he works at Custom Performance. And Greg is just a huge powerhouse of a runner. And I've been chasing his heels for years now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's just, like, the New York racing community is really competitive. And I'm lucky that I have so many people to run after. And like, those are like people personally that I know. I look at, if you look at like professional runners, I mean, Scott Fobble is my favorite guy. He is someone who I think just like holds himself to a really high standard and is similar to Peter in the fact that he's really open about the process, that none of this is like easy or guaranteed, and we all share similar struggles and there's ups and there's downs. And he's someone that I love to follow along with. And maybe the fact that, and then like I look at Dez as another huge inspiration, that this is someone who she's really candid that she's like, I'm not the fastest, but I'm sure as hell going to be one of the, I'm going to grind and I'm going to work hard. And I think that it just so happens that those two are both have a history with the Boston Marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're really lucky in how times are in 2020, that everything is so connected and that I can see how people work and how you see anybody out there who's putting up big miles, who's grinding on their own, who's working in whatever situation they are, and just gets you amped up. I love seeing friends who hold themselves to those high standards that are like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna go. And it's like, why not me too? I don't, it gets really exciting. I just think that the like we said earlier, sky's the limit on running. Like, you get whatever you put into it. And mm-hmm. I'm lucky that I've got a lot of runners around me who are far more talented and far faster than me. And I hope that continues, that the more people around me that are going to keep challenging me and asking me to step up to that next level. That's where you really grow too.
For sure.
By surrounding yourself with people who are ahead of you and then doing your best to catch up.
That's it. Yeah. It's always like follow the feet in front of you. And that's how you improve. That's how you make those strides. So,
sometimes you just have to reach for a goal that might seem a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I think, a lot of the times in running, we get tempted to make reasonable goals. Like, oh, if you run this 5K and this 10K, chances are you can probably run this. Like, you do the math. But I don't think any of us run to do things that are predictable or standard. Like, you should reach for big, unreasonable things. And that's where, like, that's when you have those breakthrough moments where you're like, you show up to the occasion and you're like, wow, that's what a breakthrough really looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. And we hope that your breakthrough is to one day qualify for the Olympic trials. That'd be something special, man.
We just need a little more time, baby. Just a little more time. Watching the trials this year was incredible. I got to, I was just getting to watch and think, wow. And I'm telling myself it right now. Next time that this thing happens, I'm going to be out in that field.
Mm-hmm.
And just like speaking it into existence.
Yeah, saying it out loud helps, right? It's that's the first kind of step, is like believing it can actually happen and that you have the potential to get there.
The more that you say that, the more that you start to enroll others around you mm-hmm. in you getting that.
For sure. What does running mean to you?
Running to me means the opportunity to be stronger, to like to grow. The running is the vehicle to find out more about yourself, to learn that you're stronger than you ever thought possible, that it's this very simple act, not easy but simple, that can really change how you feel about yourself. And that's what running is to me, is it's this thing that offers, that gives you an opportunity to be something bigger, to be more, to I don't even know how to put it, golly, like, to just build, to build something out of nothing. And it's all if you want it. It's all if you want to make it happen. Like, everything at the end of the day is up to you and running. No one can do it for you. The clock doesn't lie, and you just, you're going to get out of it what you put in. And I think in life, a lot of things are super complicated, and there's lots of levels and subtle intricacies. Now, I'm not saying that, like, running doesn't have those things, but at the end of the day, it's just an opportunity for you to get a little bit better at something. And maybe if you're a little bit better at this one thing in your life, in your running, maybe that can translate into everything else you do. That maybe I remembered that, yeah, yesterday I ran and it was challenging and I had every opportunity to stop, but I didn't. That starts to bleed into the rest of your life. That when things get challenging, you know that you can push through.
I read right before we got on something that you said about, and I think it was on Sidious Mag or something, an interview you did about the New York City Marathon last year. And like, it was amazing to, well, meet you in New York and then watch you, well, later through the photos, read about your race and like how it went on your own, on your home turf. And that, you know, your parents were there to watch you race. Like, what was that feeling like coming down the stretch there in New York, and what was going through your mind and through your body? Because the pictures certainly are there. There's emotion in there, and you could see it. It was your best marathon to date, and just maybe share that, a little bit of what that felt like.
So I was really lucky. I was super fortunate last year to be able to work with New Balance on some of their campaign for the New York City Marathon. So with that, I had some friends in New Balance, and I was able to get my folks seats at the finish line. And so if you've ran the New York City Marathon, you know that it finishes in Central Park, and it's one of my favorite places to run. I run when I'm in the city, I run in Central Park several days a week. It's my there's this thing called the Bridle Path, and it's this little stretch of dirt that goes throughout the whole park. And it's my favorite place to run because I can get some soft surface going on. And I had waited to run the New York City Marathon because I really wanted to, I know how much it meant to the community. So I really wanted to be able to show up and run well. And when I found out that my parents were coming to the race, every time I'd be running on the Bridle Path, like my everyday run, it runs right past the finish line of the marathon. And I knew exactly what it looked like. I knew what it looks like when the stands are set up. I knew where they were going to be sitting. And every time I would run past on my easy runs, especially like the 2 weeks before the marathon, I'd run past that and just get chills and think about the fact that I'm so excited to show my parents what I can do. They'd never seen me race before. They'd never seen me run. They didn't really understand what this was for me. And when things were getting super shitty in the race, and it's just like when you're down and it's challenging and you're having to dig deeper than you thought you ever could, I just knew that whole time, I was like, I'm running to my folks. I'm running towards where my parents are. They're going to be there. I know exactly where they're going to be. And I just kept thinking, like, when you can't look at your watch anymore in the race, and you're like, I just can't look at the watch anymore. I just got to go. I just have to focus on one foot in front of the other. And all I was thinking was, like, you just got to get a little closer. You're going to see your folks soon. And that was an incredible experience. Like, getting to run past them. Right after that, Eliud Kipchoge was at the finish line. Give me a hug. It was a tidal wave of emotion, I think you could say, that I saw my parents. I finished the race. I saw Kipchoge. I'm already very tired. And I was like, that was a lot. And it was a lot all at once. And it was kind of wonderful. And actually, it was amazing. It was perfect. But then afterwards, because the marathon spits you out and you have to walk up forever to get all your stuff. I had to walk back to find my parents. I didn't have my phone with me or anything. So I wasn't able to call them to find out where they were. So I was like, I just hope they stayed in that same spot. And so I'm walking with my post-race poncho and all that jazz. And I see my dad. And my dad walks very slow. He is a slow, methodical man. And he blew out both his knees in wrestling. So he does not run. And I saw my dad and I yelled and he ran over. I've never seen him run. He ran over and he hugged me and he said, "That's my boy." And I'm getting a little teary just thinking about it. that was like one of the most wonderful moments right there. My dad and my mom were right there. They were so proud. That whole rest of the week we were going, my parents were, they hadn't been out to New York before. So I was showing them around the city and they made me wear my medal everywhere I went. And I wore like my finisher jacket and all this stuff. Just, I knew they would love it. And they really did. Mm-hmm. And my mother would tell anybody who listened, "Do you know what my son did? He just ran. Do you know how fast he ran the marathon?" And I was like, "Mom, you don't just tell people your time. It's like, you don't just brag about stuff." And she was like, "Well, I know you won't say it, so I can say it." She was just telling anybody who'd listen.
Right.
And
that's awesome, man. Well, it just makes it special, you know, it makes it extra special because you do it for you, right? But I think making your parents proud like you did for your dad when you were wrestling.
It was the first time I'd ever really felt like I was like, wow, I actually like was able to show up and deliver and really be proud of the work that I put in. Mm-hmm. And in turn, they were pretty proud too.
For sure. Well, Matt, I think we'll end on that note. A nice, nice wholesome story of your pursuit for the marathon and how you continue to show up to these races and put in some significant performances. And it's no fluke. You know, you're one of the most dedicated runners that I follow and that I know. And you've certainly inspired me to be better myself and to push myself harder and reach for bigger goals too. So for that, I thank you and thanks for coming on and joining me today.
Oh, absolutely. It was a pleasure, and I will be seeing you so soon, whether it's Boston, whether I head up to Montreal, but we'll get in some good running here soon.
Absolutely, man. Well, enjoy your time where you are and stay safe.
Oh, absolutely. You do the same.
Take care, buddy.
Will do.
This episode is brought to you by the WRG Run Club. What's really good is running with people who are fun, friendly, and positive. But seeing as we can't do that in person right now, let's try our best to stay connected through social media. How can you do that? Every Monday, we'll connect through a virtual run. You can go out there at any time of the day and run any distance you choose. When you get home, share your run with us on Instagram by tagging at WRGRuns. And we'll post it in our stories for everyone to see. It's a tough time for everyone, so hopefully this helps us stay motivated to get out there and keep moving. If you want to learn more, visit our website, imarunner.ca, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Hope to see you all soon. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at The Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henry, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and hosted by Justin Pugliese.